B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Coming up on 3:05 in the afternoon, it's hour two of Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings. Free tickets for you coming up this segment if you stick around. Let's update the Brady Watch. Maz had a couple of developing opinions. One's based off a column he read today in The Globe by Tara Sullivan.
Yeah, so Tara Sullivan compared to the Brady negotiations to the Peyton Manning situation, you know, several years ago. And to me, there is that's really the only comp there is with regard to Brady. An aging quarterback who's one of the greats of all time hits the market. And one of the things in particular that struck me is, we've heard over and over again about Brady in the division or Brady in the conference, and he'll have to deal with Patrick Mahomes. Why would he go to the Raiders? Why would he go to the Chargers? Patrick Mahomes is in that division. He's not going to get by Patrick Mahomes. And I wonder if we're looking at it wrong, or people are looking at it wrong. If you're the Raiders or the Chargers, that's precisely why you have to go get Brady. If you're the Vegas Raiders, aside from all the business interests and new market, new stadium, everything else, you look at it and you say, we've got to deal with this guy Mahomes now for the next 10 years, 15 maybe. The same way Miami and the Jets and Buffalo have had to deal with Brady all those years. Do you think if you're the Raiders that you can beat Patrick Mahomes with Derek Carr? Maybe. The Chargers have decided we're moving on from Phillip Rivers. Are they really going to try to beat Patrick Mahomes with Tyrod Taylor? So my point is this. Those teams should be, and I think will be, inspired to pay out the nose for Tom Brady. They almost don't have a choice. How are you going to beat Patrick Mahomes otherwise? So people can look at it here and say, well, does Brady want to go there? Because, Ian, you can put whatever spin you want on it. But those teams are going to ante up big, I think, because they have to deal with Mahomes.
Okay, so that was one of your 2 points. The one that we said was the Tara Sullivan column, though. How does that relate to that? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Sorry. I thought Sullivan also had that in that column. Maybe I heard that somewhere else.
I mean, everyone's been saying it. Why would he go to L.A. just to lose to Patrick Mahomes? Why would he go to the Vegas Raiders and have to get back Patrick Mahomes? Like, that's been a common theme about why he shouldn't go to those places.
So Tara Sullivan talked to John Fox and had comments
about Peyton Manning.
Yes, about how just Manning walking in the door put everybody on notice. Like, if you're the Broncos, and all of a sudden, here comes the new guy. When he walks in the room, you're like, okay, we mean business. That message, we mean business, Manning carries that with him the second he walks in the door. And I think Brady does the same thing for a lot of these teams. Mike Vrabel in particular. Vrabel's got a winning quality and quotient to him from his Patriot upbringing and just the sheer nature of his personality. Vrabel oozes winner. Now he's going to walk into the locker room and he's going to say, fellas, we get to the AFC Championship game last year. You did a hell of a job. Now I'm bringing in the big fish. Here comes the guy that's going to put us over the top. You don't think that the guys in that locker room would look at Tom Brady and go, all right, here we go. Here we go. Brady's here. Now I got to show up. I got to be ready to go.
Yes.
Brady's mere presence will make everyone else in those teams, in those locker rooms, in those markets accountable right out of the gate.
Agreed. So she quotes John Fox, who said about the, you know, Peyton Manning experience and when he came into the Broncos. When he walks in, he raises all boats. Guys are not going to let him down, and Brady has that same juice. That part's going to happen, you know what I mean? That culture, outworking everybody, being prepared, doing your job, all those things militaristically speaking, like, don't let your brother down. All that stuff is going to happen. That's the beauty of getting a guy like that, a first ballot Hall of Famer, because they carry that weight, and it's real. And you can see it as it occurs. And you pointed out the Tennessee thing.
I mean, that's a real thing. Like, that's a real thing. When a team gets a player who's got some cachet, my own personal experience with this would be Schilling coming to the Red Sox. When Schilling walked into that room, they all said, we mean business.
How about Garnett and the Celtics?
Another one. And the only reason I use Schilling is because prior to him getting there, they got close, but they couldn't get over the hump. So Tennessee is in a similar spot now. I think they're an easy one to pick. The Celtics pre-Garnett, like, sucked. So it was hard to latch on at all. But I think Tennessee now can look at Brady and latch on to him and say, this is the guy that's going to put us over the top. We were close. Now we're going to get over the top. And I think there are other teams that are close.
So here's another quote from Fox that you pointed out. The biggest thing is who's around you. And what's let Tom down is New England's lack of going out and getting people. Deep down inside, that pisses him off. And it broke a little trust. Your supporting cast is huge. And it's huge no matter where you go. The trust is convincing him you're going to get him people. The league is about players, not plays. So again, that's a really interesting comment from John Fox. John Fox thinks that the biggest thing is who's around you. He thinks that Tom Brady, deep down inside, the thing that pisses him off and it broke a little trust is the supporting cast diminished here in New England. And it's huge no matter where you go. He says the trust is convincing him you're going to get him the people. The league is about players, not plays. Why does that stand out to you?
So that last line in particular, the league is about players, not plays. Do you think Bill Belichick thinks that way?
No. He thinks players are interchangeable.
It's the total opposite with Belichick. Belichick looks at it and says, Jonathan Baldwin and Julio Jones are the same player. Why would you trade up for Julio Jones in the draft when you get Jonathan Baldwin?
And by the way, John Fox knows it, and that's just a subtle, very subtle shot at Bill, if you will. Or just the whole, you know, it's about the coaches thing.
So now...
He says a guy who's been fired twice and couldn't take the team over the top. I mean, he's a little bit of sour grapes there. But I think that's sort of his message. It's like, guys, it's not about the plays. It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmys and Joes.
So in his own mind, he may very well want to justify losing to Belichick in the Super Bowl with Carolina, right?
Yep.
He had Tom Brady, I didn't. He might want to make it that simple. Maybe he's right. I don't know. We've been debating this one for 10 years, 20. Oh,
what, the Patriots-Panthers games? If you had Jake Delhomme and they had Brady? That was a close game. It was a three-point game. I don't know. So I'm sure John Fox looks at it like that, but either way, it is that the because you know the message that Vrabel's going to give Brady is it's not about Bill, it's not about me, it's not about the coaches, it's about you guys, and you know that. And so we're going to surround you with the guys. Where Bill says, "Well, you know, we have financial considerations, we have the cap, and you know we can make it work with the lesser guy, and you know Tom how we do it here, and it's a whole different pitch." And what resonates with Brady at this juncture?
Well, and the other thing is Belichick's been preaching the opposite for 20 years. So now he's going to show up at a meeting when Brady's a free agent and he's going to say, Tom, I believe in you. I believe in the players. Brady's going to look at him and say, really? Because you've been telling me the opposite. You believed in me. You put players around me or you had asked me to elevate certain guys early in my career. But now I need more help. Are you going to do it now or am I better off going somewhere else? Just that line. This league is about the players, not the plays. I read that and went, ooh, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because Bill does not believe that for a second. And in a lot of ways, I'm not sure the Crafts do either.
Here's what you wrote in your email. Here's what I think I know. Bill believes he can win with another quarterback. Brady, I think, takes a little more of a team approach and understands the importance of the group. So Tom is more likely to bend. Bill isn't. We've always sort of felt that way.
Do you feel that way?
I feel they're all capable of caving. Okay, but obviously, yes, absolutely, but not necessarily because of that. I think Brady believes we need better players. I think Brady believes I want players, not plays. I believe all that, but that's not why he caves. He caves because he's kind of a puss when it comes to this stuff. The most cutthroat competitive guy I've ever seen on the field when he gets off it, kind of a softie. As it relates to this team, and I just think that's sort of in his DNA, and that's why he caves, not because Bill focuses on scheme over players.
So if we look at the 20 years they've been together, and philosophically you would say the people who believe in Brady over Bill believe in the players. The people who believe in Bill over Brady believe in the system.
And okay? And by the way, that's me.
Okay. So, and that's fine. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just telling you that Brady is more open-minded to the other side than Bill is to his. So Brady can sit at the negotiating table and the Crafts can say to him, hey, Tom, look, it takes 53. Or in this now with the new CBA more. And so if we pay you X, we can't fill out the 53. Do you get that? And Brady says, yes, I get that. You go to Bill and say we need superstars. Bill's not going to buy that. No way, not for a second. So again, independent of who will cave, I think that Brady is more open-minded about how you can win football games and believes that there are multiple ways to do it, whereas Bill looks at it and says, I can't do it with superstars. It's not going to work that way.
Or I don't need to.
Right.
I don't need to.
Right.
I've proven it over 20 years that I don't need to. And I think he has proven it over 20 years. I mean, there's a line there. You just can't have an XFL roster out there. But, you know, I think you give Bill a representative roster, and he's going to compete every single year. Three-quarters of the coaches in this league, you give them a representative roster, I don't know what the hell you're going to get.
Maybe even more than three-quarters.
I mean, seriously.
Might be like 98%.
So I think Bill's been the biggest difference, which isn't to say he's been more important than Brady. It's just a different way to put it. I think in the last 20 years, there's been a handful of great quarterbacks that talent-wise are on par with Brady. Whether it's Rodgers or Peyton Manning or now Pat Mahomes, like there's guys who have been on par with Brady talent-wise. There's no one been on par with Bill Belichick. No one.
Not even close.
Not even. It's a night and day. So I do sort of lean on that side of the story. But that's not what's at hand here. What's at hand is, what does Brady want at this point? Is he sick of, you know, well, we'll just outcoach him? Or does he want players? I think it's pretty clear that he's demanding players at this juncture.
I mean, it feels like he wants players. It feels like he does. And if that's the case, I don't see how they figure it out here.
Okay, there's a little Brady Watch reset. We've also got the sale news. I'm going to give you one more piece of Brady Watch news that it's a story and a bit of a speculation that just will not die. It will not die. In fact, it seems to be gaining steam. So what is up with this? I'll tell you exactly what it is coming up after I ask for caller 10 at the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. This individual will score a pair of tickets to see WWE SummerSlam coming to the Garden August 23rd for the first time in a decade. So it's a big night. You'll see Jimmy Stewart dressed as the Ultimate Warrior holding a sign that says, suck it, Maz. you don't want to miss Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, and more. Tickets on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. through the TD Garden box office or tdgarden.com. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line wins the freebies. Back with this Brady story that won't die.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Dion, let's unpack this here.
Well, let's go. I got a brief. I got a Samsonite.
So the 49ers make the Super Bowl. They paid all this money to Garoppolo.
Yep.
And then they're just going to end it right there and go with Brady.
And win?
I'm not saying they would. The last thing I'm sitting here is saying they're not going to win with Tom Brady. I mean, please. But you think, and that would be in terms of Brady ending his career, other than in New England, that's his childhood team. That's who he wanted to be, you know.
So what part of this you don't understand?
That's where he wanted to go, so as opposed to Moots drafting Giovanni Carmazzi back in the day. We love having fun with him over that. But it, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense for Brady.
It makes sense for everybody.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Garoppolo you could have for many more years there.
And that's what New England wants, right?
There you go, good.
Okay, New England wants somebody with longevity. Am I right or wrong? That's the only reason you would discard Brady.
Right, but
and
Brady's
what does San Fran want?
Brady's not under contract to New England.
But what does San Fran want?
To win.
Now. Sign and trade.
Simple.
Sign and trade.
So the element of the Brady Watch that won't die all of a sudden is Brady to the Niners. Like, this thing has taken root. It's Deion Sanders. And I'm not telling you, like, he's fully dialed in, because the sign and trade thing is silly. Like, you don't need to sign and trade. It's not a sign and trade. This isn't the NBA. The Niners sign Tom Brady as a free agent, and then they trade Jimmy Garoppolo to someone, i.e. you. But they're separate transactions. But either way, he's not the only one who's talking about that. Again, Greenberg, in a master bit of facilitation last week, slipped it in to a conversation. Who else mentioned it? Mike Silver?
Yep, Michael Silver, right.
And, you know, Mike Florio wrote this yesterday. And it's like, it's just sneaky. And Florio, like, almost admitted it to us at the Super Bowl. Like, you know, they hear things, they go on things, they won't report it as fact or even report it, but... You know, I mean, you've been in this position many times where someone tells you, you know, if you want to present it as your opinion, you might not be too far off.
No question.
Present it as your opinion. So it's not a report. It's not according to someone. So it's just, hey, how about this? And then the next thing you know, there's something to it. And that's how you know, get out of even saying it's a report. So Mike Florio writes yesterday, the Niners have said all the right things about retaining Jimmy Garoppolo so far this offseason. But plenty of teams say one thing in February and do something else in March. Given that the 49ers have until April 1 to make a final decision about Garoppolo for 2020, that's when $15 million of his salary becomes guaranteed. He says, given that they have until April 1, it's impossible to completely rule out an attempt to upgrade from a guy who had an opportunity to make a championship throw with 100 seconds left in the NFL's 100th season. I've mentioned multiple times here, writes Florio, and elsewhere, the question of whether the 49ers should be interested in Tom Brady. The speculation of Brady to the Niners won't go away, writes Florio. Deion Sanders did his thing at the Combine, which I just mentioned. Peter King also addresses the subject in his post-Combine Football Morning in America column. So Peter King did it as well. And it's smart to keep an eye on the Niners as March 18th approaches. Florio writes, here's the key prerequisite, the 49ers in the 49ers pursuing Brady. Is that what Brady affirmatively wants? It's one thing for the 49ers to say, we're fine with our guy in a vacuum. Once a guy like Brady makes it clear he's interested, though, everything changes. What if the 49ers say, we're fine with our former backup? What if the 49ers say, we're fine with your former backup to Brady? What if it eventually gets out that the 49ers passed on Brady? No matter how things go this year or next, what team in their right mind would say no to the GOAT? So you see what he's implying there?
Sure.
He's implying that Brady is interested. He's implying the Brady.
Yeah, he's always wanted to go back.
Again, the callers were right.
I mean, my God, callers. I can't, you know, I've mocked you for years on this.
When has he ever actually said it? We've seen him as a child at Candlestick Park during the catch and all that. But he's never actually said, yeah, I want to play for the 49ers. It's just been speculation. But now apparently he wants to go play for the 49ers.
But Felga told you.
I mean, they're very sneaky by Florio. I mean, this is how I read that last part. You know, the key is Brady's desire and what he affirmatively wants. And it's one thing for the 49ers to say, we're fine with our guy in a vacuum. But what if Brady says, I want to come play there? And what if that gets out? What if people find this out and the 49ers go back with Garoppolo after he blows the end of that Super Bowl?
Well, they're idiots because the better option is Tom Brady. And look, I've said my piece about Garoppolo, but that team is stacked. So if it's simply about winning, I can understand Brady wanting to go play for that team because they feel like, to me, a quarterback away. He's better than Garoppolo.
Well, and Brady wants a tight end, right?
I mean,
you got the best in the game.
And you can guarantee you this. When you get to the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, he's not going to ignore him. Or try and throw to the covered wide receiver who's going to pound George Kittle.
Well, that's the way I look at it. With, you know, less than 12 minutes to play in the fourth quarter, can you not see Brady getting at least one touchdown instead of punt, turnover, and interception?
I see him getting the ball to George Kittle.
Dude, I don't even know if it exists anymore, but as you were reading that, you might as well have been reading Penthouse Forum to me. Like, I seriously, that was like, because the idea of Brady going there and Garoppolo coming back to me, that is porn. Seriously, that is freaking porn to me. And I love the idea.
And so let me tell you what I think. I think someone's floating that somewhere. And all these guys aren't just coming up with it out of their rectum. They're just not. I'm not putting myself in this category. I'll pull out of Murray's rectum like you read about and spend 4 hours on it. But Peter King and Mike Florio to a lesser extent, they're not just doing that to do that. They don't have to do it. So someone somewhere with some credence has put this out there. And this is why you're hearing Deion Sanders speculate about it and Peter King speculate about it and Mike Florio. Now, maybe that person putting it out there is totally full of crap and there's nothing to it. But I'm telling you, it's coming from somewhere.
And look, if you're the Niners, it then allows you to potentially get Cousins when he frees up out of Minnesota, right? That's part of the long-term logic.
After Brady?
Yeah, is that Shanahan's got a relationship with Kirk Cousins from their days together in Washington, and he believes he could win with Cousins. Like, you've heard all sort of speculation like that.
That's what he wanted more than anybody.
And let's not forget, when Adam Schefter was telling us you could offer the Patriots 4 first-round picks for Garoppolo and they wouldn't take it.
Oh, no. We know how Bill feels about the kid.
No, not that. Do you remember who Lynch then asked Brady about?
Oh, yeah. No, right? Who he asked Belichick about.
I'm sorry. That's right.
Lynch said, well, Lynch got off the phone. He called about Jimmy Garoppolo. Bill said, not available. Hung up the phone, and Lynch goes, huh. Well, if Garoppolo's not available, then... So he called him back and asked about Bill.
asked about Brady.
Got it. It's so annoying to get all those names mixed up. But yes, he called back and asked about Brady.
I mean, so Lynch has asked about Brady in the past, is the point, right? Ultimately, it took us a long time to get there.
Yeah, fumbling around.
And we know that Bill feels strongly about Garoppolo. I don't know. I wonder. Like I told you, for me, if Jimmy Garoppolo came back here and Brady ended up in San Francisco, I would take my clothes off and do the show naked.
So I'm not asking Murray because I know how he feels. He doesn't want him. But if Jimmy Garoppolo were your next quarterback, is that good enough? Is that good enough?
He's asking you, Matt.
Oh, yes.
I'm asking Boston. I know you. I know how you feel. I know how...
Hey, you'd like, it's the same thing. Like, okay, 10-6, you'd win a division. You're never going to win with him. Why do you laugh?
Murray's got him going 10-6 with Garoppolo or Andy Dalton. Like, they're the same guy.
Not Dalton. No. They would not have a winning record with Andy Dalton.
So you're saying they'd win the division and be a playoff team with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, big whoop. You're never going to win a Super Bowl with him.
Oh, I disagree. I think they'd win a Super Bowl with Garoppolo.
Okay, let's have history.
Bill would beat it out of him.
Well, but
beat the stupidity out of him is what I mean.
I mean, I agree. Bill would get more out of him. That I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the way, that's hard to, you know.
I'll take my chances.
A lot of things. I like him. I think the kid could play. I think he'd be a great successor. I'm stuck on Murray saying, you'd be 10-6, you'd win the division. Like, that sucks. Like, Murray, you are as spoiled as everybody else around here,
sure,
man.
Yeah.
Like, if your next quarterback...
Shame on me for wanting the best and not wanting to settle for mediocrity.
It's about being realistic.
I'd rather start off with someone new. I've seen enough.
Okay, well, that's different.
A bag of crap just went to the Super Bowl and puked down his leg.
That's different than saying you don't want 10-6 and winning the division. Like, you don't want that.
I want 10-6 with new, not old crap. Not old, fragile crap who peed his pants in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
All right, so now we're getting to... So his base salary the next 3 years is 23-8, 24-1, 24-2. I don't think that's unreasonable. It's a little high, but...
I'd be rooting for it for the show, though. That'd be great.
His money is not... You know, we gave you Stafford's money the other day, which is spectacular. Like $8 million next year and then $19 the next 2 years after that. That's really good. Jimmy Garoppolo in the mid-20s is... You know, I think he's probably still a top 10 guy. It's not like he's a top 5 guy anymore in terms of money. The money's a little high, but not outrageous.
Bill would do it.
Bill would ask him to negotiate down.
Probably, but you know what? If he didn't, Bill would still do it. But Brady made 23 last year, and the cap number was like 27, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The number was higher. So he looked, and the cap's going to go up. So he can get away with that. He could sell that one.
Okay. It's a little bit of rumor mongering that won't go away. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't believe it. But what the hell?
It's a long shot. Right? Silver called it a Hail Mary, but, I love the fact that it's even alive.
I got a theory whose camp it's coming from, if you want to wait on that.
Okay, so you know what? So do I. And I wonder if it speaks to Brady's market. We'll get to this right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5 to Sports Hub.
So, Murray, what's your conspiracy theory on where the Brady Niners stuff comes from?
Well, which camp truly benefits the most from this rumor?
Brady.
I think Belichick. I think it's his camp that would put this out there because I think it's safe to say he would like to try to move on from a 43-year-old quarterback. He'd love to have the guy back that he looked at as the successor to said 43-year-old quarterback a few years ago.
So
this is an opportunity for that to happen.
You're right. You mean Bill specifically?
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
Not the Patriots necessarily, Bill, because this is what he wanted all along.
I mean,
I smell you.
I had a feeling that's where he was going when he said it. He has a theory where it's coming from, and I think it would be Belichick.
Because he wants it.
And it's also a good landing spot for Tom. So what does he have left? A couple of years, if you're going to be this maniacal about it. This is how Bill feels about your stupid TB12. Fine. You know what? Go to the Niners. Go home. That's where you always wanted to play, according to the fans around here. So go there. Win your championship. And I have my guy back, who I wanted in the first place, never had to wanted to trade, for the future. I got my guy. I don't have to try to find him through the draft. I had already found him. This is how Bill feels about him. I think he's crap. But you know what I'm saying? If... I think it's a logic. It's logical who this could be coming from. What camp? Bills.
Sound.
Belichick's. That's who.
Sound logic. And it is.
I agree.
Let me give you my Brady scenario, though. That he doesn't have the market he thought he had. That the teams are... Because there's this rumble.
Just trying to drum up interest.
The Patriots are putting this out here, by the way.
Right. Folks.
The Patriots are putting this out.
Yep.
If you read through the lines of Curran's reporting, Bedard's hints, there's an undercurrent here. And I think it's coming from the Patriots that Brady's market isn't what he expected it to be. And I want to hit on this a little bit more coming up. But what if the Pats are right, which they usually are when it comes to money and the market? They're usually pretty good about that. So what if Brady's market isn't what we thought it was? And now he has to drum up interest. He has to sort of search out teams.
That's plausible as well.
Okay, so what better team than the team that asked about him 2 years ago, the team that he would, has this natural storyline of coming home, a team that just blew the Super Bowl because the kid quarterback wasn't ready for it.
Crapped his pants.
So, that's a way to drum up some interest.
Sure it is.
Okay, so I wonder if that's Brady or his people doing their job and playing the market. And I wonder if his market is down like the Patriots seem to be leaking out there. So that's my that's where I was coming from. But you're right about Bill too. That's what he wanted to have happen in the first place.
I mean, in the short term, Brady in San Francisco is a good fit.
It is.
That would look awesome.
Doesn't San Francisco play here this year?
Oh, I think they do.
I think they.
Well, the NFC West is on the schedule.
Yeah, but I
just don't know if it's here or there.
It's here.
I think it's here.
Oh, that would be awesome. Seriously, if Brady ever didn't do it, if he wanted to go there and didn't do it. Just because the Patriots are on the schedule, which we've alluded to.
I know, it would be so weak, right?
Oh,
I hate that. Come on.
Brady coming back here to play Garoppolo. Wouldn't that be awesome? You remember me on the Lighthouse, Jimmy? Remember the banner of me on the Lighthouse? You forget the banner, pal. I'm here in person.
But how about Brady also then, making Garoppolo's life miserable? You still can't beat me out.
Right. Now I've kicked your ass out of 2 months.
Exactly. All right. So I have some more Brady to follow. So Brady stuff and the Chris Sale stuff on the board to your calls. I promised. So here we go. Noah in the car on Brady. What do you got?
Hey there. I was thinking, you guys talked about this about a month ago. And I think the best option that the Patriots have as a Brady replacement if he leaves would still be A.J. McCarron. They could pick him up for so cheap. And he's been a decent backup and hasn't really gotten a full chance to be molded by a good coach, in my opinion.
So I like that idea. I like him. And to me, it's that type is what I would want. I would want Stidham to be the guy. But I would have to have someone there just in case he's not ready.
Sure.
And I don't want to pay that guy. And I don't want to give up anything for that guy. So, some of the other ones we've talked about, Mariota, Dalton, those guys would have to come in and start, and it would mean no Stidham because you'd have to pay those guys too much to bring them in. You're not bringing them in to back up. So it's got to be someone dirt cheap who has, Brian Hoyer, A.J. McCarron, the Chase Daniels, Matt Moore, very good. Someone like that would cost you under $2 million and you wouldn't have to give anything up for, but has started in the league and you could just survive with if Stidham wasn't ready. So, I think that's the best case scenario. But what you're really saying is that Stidham's ready. We just have that dude there in case he's not. But, I don't know. You hear different things about that he's ready or not. Adam and Lowell on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Adam.
Hi, guys. How we doing?
Good.
So the Sale injury, I'm pretty bummed about that because I think he's the guy you want. He's like the opposite of Price. He wants the big moment. He wants the ball. He doesn't want to get off the mound. He's not going to complain. But the good news is with this injury, I mean, maybe the ownership group will lose some money because I think that's the best way to send that message to them. I mean, I don't want them to lose money because of the trades or the mismanagement. It's the arrogance they show towards the fans. Like, you dopes are going to show up here. Let's pitch some tickets while we're telling you we're trading our franchise player. You guys stink. It's like, seriously, I hope those NESN numbers go down. I hope ticket numbers. I hope it looks like the Orioles stadium this year. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's the bull crap that makes you root against them. It's the bull crap. And the way the Chris Sale bullpen session on Sunday was reported by the team and the Globe is just, oh, man, it's another thing. It's just like bull crap that I think leads you to root against them. I think they are in trouble market share-wise this year. Last year, interest was low. I don't know if it was an all-time low, but so when I say interest, the stadium was still, you know, roughly full. Attendance was down, but it was still good numbers.
But they're always going to sell tickets in the middle of the summer.
And NESN numbers were good, but, you know, down. So, but there's, you know, they're still relatively healthy. But interest, and we can tell you as, you know, I think we're experts in it because we sit in these chairs. Interest, that was... had to be an all-time low in the 30 years I've been here. I mean, really.
I told you, I can't remember a year where the Red Sox felt that irrelevant to me.
And it could only get worse this year.
I can't remember a year where it felt like that. And they got up to a bad start, and they never really got back in it, and people wrote them off, and that was it. And they never really recovered from that. And they've had a bad offseason. So what happens now? Well, they better get off to a good start, or they're going to be in big trouble.
Here's Sharon in New Hampshire. Brady Garoppolo, go.
Hi, I have a kind of a stupid thought. Maybe you can bear with me. Didn't Brady come from San Francisco?
Yes, Bay Area.
Well, it was interesting that Edelman said he's coming home. I wonder if he was talking to the San Francisco fans.
Oh, I'll run with that, Sharon. He was saying he's coming back. He's coming back, not coming home. Was Edelman referring to the Niners? He wasn't, but whatever.
Well, we'll use a little editorial license.
Sure. Look, this story, and again,
it's the best.
Well, I have to apologize. I mean, you know how when they traded Garoppolo, and all the times we've brought it up since, the number of calls we've gotten that went, yeah, they can just, you know what they can do? They can trade Brady back to the Niners because he wants to go and they'll get Garoppolo back, and how we would mock these people, like mock them. You know, you two would do your, you know.
Yeah, I told you, Felger, that the plan all along was that Bill was playing a shell game. He was playing possum, and he was going to eventually send Tom back home and get Jimmy back. Now it's going to happen.
You guys don't know nothing. I told you years ago this was going to happen, and you didn't want to listen.
Yeah, we told you. Murray and I told you.
Oh, and we mocked you. Yeah. We mocked you time and time again. And now it feels like it might kind of sort of be on the table. It's unbelievable.
Stupidest cockamamie thing ever, and it could happen.
Long commercial free segment is next.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mass.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
We'll open it up with, we'll start with Mike Reese.
I'll start, let me start first here.
Okay.
Thanks.
We've completed the trade papers, with San Francisco, and so just make a couple comments on this situation. First of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us. And the 49ers are getting a good player, and they're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate, and they're getting a good quarterback. And Jimmy's getting a good coach.
You've heard us play that many times. Bill goes on for, what was it, 4 minutes?
So longer. I think it was like six.
Oh, God, did Bill love Jimmy Garoppolo. He loved him. Oh, he freaking loved him. I love the beginning of that where, you know, like, so it's a big news day. It's the day they just traded Garoppolo. And Stacy says, we'll throw it open to questions.
We'll open it up with, we'll start with Mike Reese.
I'll start. Let me start first.
Bill is so freaking horny to give Garoppolo some love there. He does, like, how many times have we had big news days? And it's obviously going to be the question. And Bill gets to the podium and stands there and goes, waits for the first question, says, I've already addressed that. Doesn't even go there. This one, he's got to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. And he's like, no, hold on.
We'll open it up with, we'll start with Mike Reese.
I'll start. Let me start first here.
He's so eager. He so wants to, and again, the cut goes on for like 4 minutes of this fawning on Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, I got
to
be the first one to talk about Jimmy.
Oh, he loves this guy so much.
He really does. This thing's like a love letter, for crying out loud, that press conference.
And I'm telling you, and I just got this sense, this building sense. There were enough guys across the league just started talking about this, like, hey, what if this happens? That I know how it works, because I've been there, and you certainly have too, Maz, where it's like you get told something and they tell you, you know, don't report it, just use it as your opinion if you want. You know, there's something to this. And so the next thing you know, Peter King, Deion Sanders, Mike Florio, Mike Greenberg, like, they start saying, well, how about San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady? And the next thing you know, it's like, well, where's this coming from? And now, apparently, just this afternoon, our buddy Tommy Curran is on satellite radio with Adam Schein.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Curran, who is tapped in, who isn't just throwing crap against the wall, says this.
How do you think this plays out? What's your prediction? Where's Tom Brady going to sign? Where's he going to play football next year?
50-50. I really, it's either going to be, to me, it's either going to be New England or Tennessee with the 49ers closing hard on the outside.
So you think the 49ers conversation is real?
I do.
You think that's from Tom, or do you think that's from San Francisco?
I think it's from both. I think that there is an appeal. What's interesting about that is the Patriots sent Jimmy Garoppolo out there for such short collateral that could Belichick say, hey, why don't you just sign this guy when he comes available for 2 years? I'll take Jimmy back. He'll get you the Super Bowl that you probably could have had this year if you had Brady. And we'll start fresh. It would be interesting to me to find out whether or not that had happened, because I think that the Niners can release Jimmy Garoppolo outright and suffer no consequence.
That is true. They could, if they don't pick up his guaranteed salary by April 1st, they'll only have $4 million of dead money, which is nothing. So, and if they trade him, I think it's the same condition. I think if they trade him, they'll have to swallow $4 million dead money, and that's it. I think there's probably some details there. Curran says the Niners are closing fast on the outside.
I mean, unbelievable.
50-50, Patriots, Tennessee. Oh, the Niners are closing hard. How? Whoa.
I'm telling you, I could just tell by the rumbles, by the way the rumor mongers were rumor mongering about it. Someone said something somewhere. They didn't just all of a sudden, all of them come up with that at one time and say, well, let's just throw this against the wall. No, there was some drunken conversation in Indianapolis that got everyone sort of clued in, like, no, this is actually on the table.
How would G feel about San Francisco?
Is that someplace nice? When she says, I'll go wherever my husband's going to play football, hopefully it's somewhere nice?
Yeah.
Oh, they buy a shack in Marin like you read about.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely qualifies as nice, yes.
Wine country up there, she'd go nowhere near the filthy Frisco.
Oh, no.
I mean, she wouldn't.
Homeless people?
Set foot in that place.
Please.
No, but up north? Marin County, she'd do well up there. She'd be just fine.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the filthy city. I'm talking about Northern California.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yes,
sir. I wonder
if
G would like it there, and I suspect she would. She'd like it a hell of a lot more than Boston, I'll tell you that.
So, I mean, tremendous. Tremendous.
Oh, my God.
And I love the thought of Garoppolo back here.
The Niners are closing hard on the outside. That is awesome. Oh, my God. That's the best thing I've heard in about 6 years. Like, wow, is that awesome. Closing hard on the outside. The Niners for Brady. Oh, my God. That is so awesome. Oh, Jimmy G's coming back if that happens. Absolutely. Oh, my God. Do I love that. Oh, my God. Oh. That is dynamite. That is so freaking good. Oh, can we get Cover in here? Can we get him in here? I don't care about who's on whose airwaves or what. I want him in here.
I think he does the other side.
I don't care. Let's get him in here.
Get him in here and take his pants off and let's just go.
Let's just have a circle. That is awesome. Oh, and Murray's going to hate it. Murray's going to hate it.
He's already steaming over there. You can see it. He says smoke coming out of his ears.
Not at all. No, because I don't have to worry about them doing anything with him. It'll be good for the show. I get to rag on him week to week, and Brady gets to go to the Niners, which is stacked, and he'll win another Super Bowl. And he'll go back home doing it.
Oh, that's great.
It's a great story.
We've already got football season scheduled.
This is what I want. Seriously. I want this to happen.
They play on Sunday. We came in on Monday. I say I love Garoppolo. Murray says Garoppolo should die.
What do you have to give up for Jimmy Garoppolo? What do you have to give up to trade for him back? Let's flush this out. Murray's update, 90 seconds. Oh, there's breaking Red Sox news. Not that anyone gives a rat's ass, but there is breaking Red Sox news this afternoon. The latest right here. And we reset on the other side.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.